It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Surely you have seen it, a charming, gothic-looking church tucked in neatly, incongruently, among the modern structures of downtown Pittsburgh. It's the United Church of Christ on Smithfield Street, but it used to be known as the German Evangelical Protestant Church, and it stood at that spot for more than two centuries. At one time, it could be seen from all sides. But as the years passed and the ground around it pitched and heaved and transformed into a high-traffic area, it would eventually be dwarfed and obscured by much taller buildings. But for most of its existence, it was an integral part of the German-American scene in the Steel City. That began to change, however, with the outbreak of World War I, which officially began 100 years ago this week. Here to talk about the history of the German Evangelical Protestant Church and how the Great War made it a church divided is historian Don Neal, the archivist for the church, who has a doctorate in history from the University of Michigan. Don Neal, a great honor to have you. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
Explain the history of the city's German population and their landmark church on Smithfield Street.
Well, when population began to accumulate around Fort Pitt during the 1700s, many of them were Germans, partly because there was a large German population in eastern Pennsylvania and land was scarce and people moved west, as they've done all through our history. Some of them actually came as to help the army, driving carts and so forth for supplies. And those people wanted a church that represented their own spiritual tradition, and together with some non-Germans formed a church in 1782, the first organized congregation in Pittsburgh. There'd been some pastors here before and visiting preachers and so forth. But this is the first church that organized itself and called its own pastor in 1782. So that's how long Germans have been in communion here in Pittsburgh.
And explain how the German church became in many ways kind of the center of activity for the German population in Pittsburgh.
And this is not unique. In the other congregations we might talk about, Lithuanian or Polish, did the same thing. But the Germans being very numerous in Pennsylvania and in Pittsburgh, they were among the first to do that. So the church was, in those days, it's hard for us to think in the 21st century that the church was the center of life, but it was. People didn't just go on Sunday morning for an hour and worship, but their whole lives, social lives, revolved around the church. And actually our current structure, which was built in the 1920s, still reflects that. There's a bowling alley in the basement, now not being used. There's a gymnasium down there. A stage, a movie theater, all of these things were for the benefit of the German population. And even in more formal ways, in the late 1800s, we had a pastor who was interested in what would be called the social gospel. And he saw to it that the church had a school and taught German, because German wasn't taught in the public schools, of course, not the way they wanted it taught. They started an orphanage.
When you say that it was not taught the way they wanted it taught, how was it being taught in the public schools as opposed to when the church got a hold of the idea of saying, we're going to teach it, properly?
Well, what I mean is that English was the language of the public schools. And if a student wanted to learn German, he probably had to elect a course in that in later years. They brought their children up to be speaking German, and that's why they wanted a school of their own, so that they could ensure that their children would still learn German. And that school lasted for quite a few years. So there was an orphanage. There was a home for retired people, which still operates. It's independent of the church now, Fair Oaks. So these things were all part of the mission of the church to the community that supported it. And if you look through the records of the church, which I do frequently, you see that about 90 to 95% of the names are German names. A few English names here and there, a Mick something or another, probably because they married a young German girl and may have joined the church and probably had to sit through sermons that were preached in German.
Well, the church records, in fact, were all in German until the 1920s. And so
that's right.
German heritage, German culture, German language certainly was all being kept very much alive. So 100 years ago, this week, in fact, it was just yesterday that was the 100th anniversary of Austria declaring war on Serbia.
That's correct.
And then there was a domino effect of different countries declaring war on other countries and alliances and this very confusing jumble that led to the start of the Great War, which became known as World War I. How did that change things for the church here?
Well, it put Germans in a somewhat delicate position because, like many people who came to the United States, most immigrants, in fact, they wanted to belong. This was their new home, and they wanted to make the values and the mores of the community their own, so that they would fit in. This is where their families would be and their children would be. So they had this a certain amount of affection for the United States that was already building in them, but they came out of German mothers and fathers, and some of them still had family back in Germany. They naturally felt some loyalty to the German culture and German civilization that had produced them. So there's a real dilemma for them in some ways. Until the United States got into the war, that changed things dramatically. The church bent over backward to support the war after – we're getting ahead of where we are right now, but after 1917.
Right. The Germans had become in the view of many Americans, the Germans were the enemy. And so the church – what kind of position did that put the church in?
In some cases, the Germans deserved that because my own great-grandfather, I learned this week from my sister, supported the German cause all through World War I. But
these were Germans in Pittsburgh.
In this case, in Ohio. But yes, the same difference. But yes, I'm sure there were Germans in Pittsburgh who supported the German-Austrian cause right through the war. But the church took the position that we were patriots, that the members of the church were patriots, even though they had German roots. And they bought bonds, both as individuals and the church bought bonds. They had 121 men who went into the military service. Some of them lost their lives. The nurses, the women nurses, were outstanding in their service in the home community. So the church, as I say, bent over backwards.
But it still ended up, I would assume, being dramatically divided about
It's hard to say. This distance, those of us who are younger than 110 don't have any memories of that. And I'm sure there was some dissent, but the church as a body, it was unmistakable what they did. And then, of course, it began to change the church so that by the end of the 1920s, it was losing its German character.
And so the church evolved into what?
Well, it has always been an independent church. It is not – for many years, it did not belong to a denomination. It's does not have a synod, does not have a bishop, does not have any hierarchy above it. And so it looked for common interests. And the best fit was the Congregational Church, the old Puritan church out of New England, which has a lot of the same character, has a lot of the same beliefs, and was thriving. And so they joined the National Congregational Church in the 1920s, and that continued into the 1950s when the Congregational Church itself began to move in a direction toward what's now called the United Church of Christ, joining, ironically, a German denomination in creating the United Church of Christ.
But I understand there are still German services being held from time to time today that keep that German tradition alive?
Not in our church, no.
Not any longer?
No, the Lutherans still do have Lutherans who spun off of us downtown. We did that into the 60s. We still sing the German hymns at Christmas. There are those who will not give that up. But in terms of German services, no. And one thing that's really interesting, you can see this very tangibly in the church records because up until about 1923 or so, the minutes are all in German, in a very old-style German. We can't read them today. We hope to get a grant someday to be able to read those. The records, the council minutes, are all in German, but you begin to see English translations posted, scotch-taped into the records. And then by about 1925, it flips over, and the records are in English with German translations scotch-taped into the records.
Don Neal is the archivist for the former German Evangelical Protestant Church, now known as the United Church of Christ. And he's been telling us about the transition that the church went through that really began about 100 years ago with the outbreak of World War I. Don Neal, it's been a pleasure talking to you and hearing your insights into a fascinating piece of Pittsburgh history.
I enjoy being there.
Thank you so much for joining us. Uh-huh. More Essential Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESA.